Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Cabrera. Here, we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey guys, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I am really, really, really excited to be here with you today with my friend Kai McLemore, who is going to tell us about her journey. Oh man, I remember the first time that I met Kai was actually at a women's retreat, and she is a young woman who normally, I think in life, our lives would not have crossed paths if it had not been for our faith. But we have just had this deep connection and just instantaneous like connection, right?
I agree. I definitely agree.
Yeah, I know. And I love that. Like, I love how it doesn't matter how old you are or what season in life you're in. Yes. And just how quickly you can connect. So I'm really excited to have you here today, Kai.
I am excited as well. I'm super excited to be here.
And just really pumped for folks to be able to hear about your journey, because Kai has had quite the life experience.
Yes, I
have. And so let's hear about it. I just can't wait. Let's dig in so that folks can hear about this journey that you've been on. So tell us a little bit about your background and then also what your faith background or journey is. How did you come to Jesus?
Gotcha. So I didn't really grow up being a Christian or really having any religion. My childhood was a little bit rough. I grew up with two parents that had drug addiction, and their focus was really not on providing any knowledge about religion to me, which is completely fine. But when I was working at a job when I was 23, I had a friend whose mother desperately wanted me to come to Thanksgiving so she could meet me. And when I met her, she honestly provided me with a lot of information. She is definitely one of those people who sees someone who's not Christian and reaches out to them and tries to get them to understand that the Lord is with them even when they're not aware. And I was going through such a hard time in my life, and having someone come to me and teach me about what being Christian really is, and not someone who's just I go to church on Sunday type right. person, but someone who is walking with Christ, was such a different experience for me. And she truly provided me with all of the knowledge I needed to be able to say, I want to do that too. She invited me to a women's retreat in 2023. And it was the first time where I truly was able to see so many women who are walking with Christ and see their backgrounds and know I was not alone in life. Like, everyone has their stories.
Right.
And I made the decision basically a week after that retreat that I was going to turn my life over to Christ. And it was the first time in my life I had had a religion. So seeing myself make that choice was kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah. You probably surprised yourself.
I really did. Yeah. I really did. I definitely did.
Okay. So I'm curious about that decision process. So it sounds like while you were at the retreat, your eyes were kind of open.
They definitely were.
All of these things. And I'm so intrigued by the fact that it was a week later. Were you by yourself? Were you with someone? Had you been like thinking about it a lot? Tell me about that in between.
So when I made the decision, it was solely based on the fact that I saw so many women there who, despite their different backgrounds, they all had this light about them. And this light, I couldn't understand it in the moment. I didn't have any representation prior of what being Christian truly was. So seeing these women and seeing them walking with Christ, I was compelled to kind of see it and not just ignore it and push it away, but to truly see it. And even in the moment, like, I was like, I can't be Christian. Like, I could never do that, because my entire life I wasn't. And it wasn't that I had a definite, oh, God's not real kind of opinion. It was just not something I really understood enough to even have an opinion at all. But that week after, I sat on it constantly.
You did.
I didn't know to pray or anything at the time, but I thought to myself so many times, like, what do I do? Like, what do I do? Do I do it? Do I not do it? Like, I don't know. And it wasn't until I was texting with that friend who brought me to it, and she was telling me, like, you don't have to, like, just when you're ready, just do it. And I was like, I think I'm ready. And I kept sitting on it, and I was just like, I don't know, like, I just feel like I know, like, I can see it in other people, and I'm feeling it in, like, my soul that, like, God's real.
Yeah.
And it was very compelling. I really do believe that me going there saved me a lot, because right. I don't think I would have ever been able to run into anyone in my daily life in the same way that you said that we would have never crossed paths. Right. I would have never crossed paths with her either if it wasn't for her son, and it was the right person, right time to bring me to there. I wholeheartedly feel like I was meant to be with that person.
Right. Oh, I have another curious question.
Yes.
So when you were invited to the retreat, mm-hmm. were you like, yes, let's do that? Or were you like, I don't know?
Honestly, I'm very open to trying things.
You really are.
I really know that am. From you. Yes. Yeah. I was really open to trying things. So I always would say, like, I want to experience something at least once. So when she invited me, I was like, I mean, I'm not Christian, but, like, I'll try it. Like, I don't have anything against religion. It's just, I just never grew up with it. I never had a reason to pursue it myself. So I was open to it. I was so open to it. And I think that it shocked me how open I was to it being there too, because I was participating more than I expect myself to and really enjoying it.
Right.
But honestly, I think it was just like God was like leading me, like slowly, like taking my hand like a little kid and like, come on, like, yeah. let's go. And I was just like, okay, I'll go.
That's awesome. Okay. Ooh. Okay. So you go to this retreat. You were open to new experiences, but you really didn't have any specific expectations. But then it sparked something within you.
Yes.
And you saw this community of people that you're like, wow, they're from all different backgrounds.
Definitely.
They're from all different walks of life. Some are rich, some are poor, some are black, some are white, some are, you know, it's like some have had really broken past and major struggles, and some have had maybe what would be considered a more traditional upbringing or whatnot, but yet they all come together unified under this same conviction.
Yes.
And it's real.
It
was like palatable to you.
Yes.
You're like, there's a light in these people and I'm curious about it. I want it.
Yes.
And you leave the retreat and it's just like brewing in your mind.
Really, it really was.
Yeah. And then you're talking with the friend who had invited you, who really gave you the courage to say, just do it whenever you're ready.
Yeah. There was no pressure behind it.
Yeah.
At all. It was definitely a, like, when you are ready, do it.
Yeah.
But she knew I was ready. She just was waiting for me to make the choice.
To know you were ready. And okay. So now let's figure this out. When we say, am I going to do it? Am I not going to do it? What does that mean? Do what? So what did you do? When you said, I'm ready, what did you do?
So something that they say pretty much every Sunday here, but something that was said at the retreat is, if you do not know Christ right now, give yourself to Christ and, like, let Christ basically surrender your soul and acknowledge Christ.
Right.
And I was kind of like, I don't even know what that means. And that was one of the conversations I had with her. I was like, how do I do this? What do I say? And I think there's always, you know, kind of like a little script you can say, but she really was just like, just say it how you want to say it.
Right.
Like, if you want to walk with Christ, do that how you want to do it. And I think that was the best advice I could have ever gotten, because I don't think that my brain or my personality, I could have done it in a very traditional way, because I wasn't brought up that way.
Yeah.
So for me, it was literally just a matter of going and saying, okay, I am a sinner. I know this. I see this. I know my life's not where I want to be. I know I am broken. I know I have a very difficult past that I'm going to hold on to, even if I surrender myself to you. What do I do? And I said what I think most people say, but I give myself to you. I surrender myself to you. And I felt this kind of weird feeling for probably the next 3 months, where it was like, I feel something there. I just don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started going to church and, like, reading, like, books that had to do, not just the Bible, but books that had been published by people who have gone through certain things like this, where I realized like that feeling is literally the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I know. You're like, whoa, I have the Holy Spirit in me.
Yeah. No. And it was such a change, and I could see that. And I remember I joined a women's Bible study as well. She invited me to a women's Bible study and I joined it. And I remember the craziest thing in the world was the girls in the group were telling me like they saw that light in me too. And I was like, what?
You were like, yes, I got it.
Yes. And I was like, me? You see it in me? And wow. I remember feeling so just taken aback, like, okay, it's there. Like, God's with me.
He's actually with me.
Yeah.
He's so cool. Okay. Yes. I have to say, first of all, when I came to Christ, I also had I don't know what to say.
Yes.
No one has ever taught me any, like the terminology of give your life to Christ, or that was not something I was familiar with.
Yeah.
And so I also didn't have any type of scripted prayer or anything that I prayed. But for me, it was very similar to what you just described. It was making this decision that I am going to turn myself over to you.
Yes.
I'm no longer living for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living for you now. And I'm relinquishing my control.
Yes.
And now I recognize that you want me, and I'm admitting now that I want you.
Yes, definitely. You know?
And it's just incredibly remarkable how you can almost be on one, like before I said those words, which were really a message from my heart, right?
Yeah.
It was my spirit finally surrendering to God and letting his spirit in. But I, it's remarkable that you hold on to the control, like in my time of like, do I do it? Do I not do it?
Yeah.
My kind of, I want to, but I don't want to, period. I was holding on and basically I was saying to God, I want you, but I don't want to give anything up for you.
Yes. And I feel that exactly. Yeah. That is exactly what it was.
Yeah.
It's not that I didn't believe he was there. It was that I was like, I don't really know if I want to surrender myself.
I don't want to release my control.
Yeah.
What's going to happen when I do, you know, there's this, but believing that God is powerful enough to transform you is I think it's important, because even though I didn't know what that meant.
Yes.
Once I did it, God, man, he moves in, doesn't he?
He really does.
He moves in and you just can't describe it, but it's amazing.
Yes, it is. I think part of that too is like, what is that change going to look like in me? Am I ready for that change? Am I going to still be the same person after that change?
Right.
And I think it's so scary to relinquish that part of you and say, who I am after this is no longer going to be the same. And right. I think that for me, seeing that change has been so just insane. It's just been so insane. And seeing how happy I get from just small things like going to church on Sunday and being able to worship and being able to see my church friends and being able to be like, wow, like I feel loved by this community. It's so different. And I think that for me, it was the best thing I could have ever done for my life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So this was a couple years ago, right?
Yes.
And now that you're in this kind of we were talking about one side of the fence versus now that you kind of hopped over to the other side of the fence, you're like, okay, fine. I'm over here. Now I'm in your domain, right?
Yes.
Like you're the one that's in control over here. And what have you learned about God now that he's living in you, you're figuring out what Christianity is.
Yeah.
What have you learned about God?
So one of the things I really struggled with in my childhood was a lot of blaming on God, I guess, or my parents for a lot of the things that happened. I felt like it was really easy to blame God for experiences I had with my parents or other situations growing up. And I consistently would be just so angry and just so filled with just like rage of like, why was I even born if this is a life I'm going to have? And I remember at one point someone said to me, do you know that God gives people free will? And I was like, okay, what does that mean? And they had told me that the people who hurt you It was a choice they made. God didn't force them to make that decision. When God gave people free will, he relinquished everything to them to say, you make your own choices. I'll be here. I will control what I control, but that is for me to know and you to find out. And I was like, okay, so basically I'm blaming God for something he had really nothing to do with. He let them have the free will and they made those decisions. And I remember just thinking, okay, so I can stop blaming God. And even after surrendering myself to Christ, it's still a anger inside me, like, well, I don't really understand, like, why I'm here if this is the life I have to live. And all that pain was just, you know, bubbling in me of just like, I don't really understand, like, life's purpose. And when I found out what free will was, it opened my eyes so much to, well, I'm blaming someone who has nothing to do with any of that pain.
Right.
And I can't expect God to, you know, snap his fingers and heal that when I am blaming the wrong person and not being able to, you know, work on those things myself by walking with Christ and being able to repair some of that brokenness I feel. I think a lot of people feel brokenness, but they don't know how to really handle where that even came from to begin with.
Right.
So for me, knowing that God was not the one to blame for everything made me feel so much closer to God, because in my mind, it wasn't like, oh, God, you know, hates me.
Yeah, like, but it's God just, his fault. So how can I be close to him?
Right. But like, when they say God loves us all, I just was like, okay, you may love me, but like, why are you letting this happen to me? And knowing that that was taken away, it made being Christian so much easier. Mm-hmm. Knowing that God was not out to get me, or that he didn't put me here just to suffer my entire life, but to be able to say, yes, you're going to suffer, and yes, it's going to suck, but you're going to be able to be loved, and you're going to be so loved by me, was something I had never even experienced in my life. I had grown up feeling very, very unloved by people around me, my family, friends, relationships. And to know that there is one person on my side always loving me, and it's God, that was a incredible feeling to know that no matter what I did, no matter what things I did wrong, I still had someone in my corner. And knowing that that person can't be taken away from me was just something that I can't even explain.
Right.
It filled something in me that I feel like I had been trying to fill for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Bible says, if God is for us, who could be against us?
Exactly.
Right. And I also think Hebrews 12, the beginning of Hebrews 12 talks about really kind of unburdening yourself, to casting off the things that are weighing you down, setting those things aside, and then fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith.
Yes.
And it sounds like what you're telling me about your story and really coming to understand freedom in Christ is what I hear you talking about, is really saying, you know what? I'm carrying a burden that I don't need to carry anymore.
Yeah.
I'm carrying anger and pain and blame with me. And that is something that I can actually set aside.
Yes.
Because he's safe. He is safe. He's not against me.
Yes.
He's for me.
He is.
And he's with me. And one thing I think a lot about this, because a lot of people struggle with this idea that you're talking about, right? They really, I mean, understandably so, but I think if we just break it down to something very, very simple, the reality is things are messed up, right?
Yeah.
Like, things are really messed up. There are so many messed up things on this earth. And there is death, and there is pain, and there is destruction, and there is chaos, and there is confusion, and there's anxiety, and there's so many messed up things. Mm-hmm. So my question is, we're going to be in the messed up, right?
Yes.
Like, circumstantially, in our physical realm, things are messed up. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be in the messed up. Would you rather be in the messed up alone, or would you rather be in the messed up with God of the universe?
Definitely, you know? With God,
like,
for sure.
You know? Yeah. Like, having God by your side, walking with you, caring for you, the Holy Spirit living within you, teaching you, instructing you, comforting you, guiding you, Jesus saving your soul, yes. You know, all of these things that he welcomes us into. I mean, if I have a choice between those two options, I want that one, you know? Yeah. I mean, hook me up. That's the one I want. And so I really see that you kind of had that aha moment where you're like, oh, I can be safe with God.
Yeah.
And this is a much better life.
Definitely. I think a lot of people fall into the category where they think, like, for example, like their son gets murdered. And it's so easy to believe that, you know, God took away my baby, or, you know, why did that person, you know, attack my son and God let him pass away? I think it's very easier for people to fall in that category and be able to say it's God's fault for not saving that person. But they forget that, yes, maybe that
there's
maybe,
evil in the world.
Yeah. Like maybe God could snap his fingers and fix it. But for us to always rely on God for that, to burden God with that, when we know that humans were given free will and those humans make choices and there is so much destruction and anger and evil in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't think that blaming God for the things that humans do makes much sense. Mm-hmm. I think that when I was a non-believer, that concept could never have even fathomed, you know, what I was having in my mind. Like, it was just like, whoa, like, you're telling me that I can't blame God? It's a hard thing to carry when you become Christian to realize, oh, like, I'm just blaming the wrong person.
Right. Yeah. That's really cool. So I'm also curious about if there have been any experiences when you feel like God's presence has just been super evident to you, where you have experienced God in ways that you're like, wow, this is God.
Yeah. I think that there's been a lot of little things that happened that I kind of had to take a step back and be like, that was definitely God. And I think a lot of us have those moments in our lives where we, you know, acknowledge God's there and we say, oh, wow, that was definitely God. But for me, some of those core moments were when I was going through really difficult times in my life and the community around me showed up for me. And honestly, it would be people I had no like knowledge of. I never knew them, but somehow they would walk into my life and they would be some of the people that would honestly probably have saved my life if I had not gotten that help. I think God provides for me pretty frequently, but something that comes to mind recently that happened, I had just moved to Maryland and I was still working in Virginia and I had been making this hour drive commute and I was relying on the job in Virginia and my car was having issues and this car is 26 years old. I know it's going to break down, but like, I'm just hoping it can get me from A to B.
I need to get there today.
Yeah.
Right.
And this car has been having issues and I'd been telling a close friend about it. And unfortunately they had a family member pass away and that family member had left money to them. And I had known about this and, you know, I would never have even thought of anything, but that family friend came to me and was just like, hey, so I know your car is messed up. I want to give you a gift. And I'm in my head like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you saying? And she gave me $5,000 for a new car.
Wow.
And wow. For me,
and it was right when you needed it.
It really was. Yeah. It really was. I had so many issues with the car I had and I was like, I'm going to lose my job. I'm not gonna be able to figure out my income for my rent. Like, it was such a stressor on me and it had been weighing so heavily on me. And I had told her maybe in passing by like two times over like the past few months, but her putting $5,000 aside for me while she's going through grief, while she's going through this intense loss she's feeling, and being able to say, I know I need to do something with this money. I know I need to give it to someone who needs it. And being able to even think of me in that moment, that's God.
Right.
100% that is God.
Right.
And I know that, yes, this person cares about me and that, you know, she wants the best for me. But for her to go out of her way like that and to tell me that God told her that this is what she should do with this money. Mm-hmm. It weighed so heavily on me, knowing that God is there. God sees my struggles. God is there with me in all these moments and knows that one little thing like that, providing right. that person to come to me and say, hey, right. this has been weighing on me.
Right.
I want to help you. It was something very, honestly, really hard to accept for me, because mm-hmm. with my background, like I'm not used to that. Like,
I'm a fighter.
I'm very independent. Yeah. I really want to always figure things out myself, but to know that I had to surrender that part of myself to allow that, to accept that blessing, it yeah. was hard a little bit, but I did it because I know that God provided it.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, generosity is a gift of the Spirit.
Yes.
And your friend is a believer.
Yes.
And so God can be generous to you through people.
Yes, definitely. You know? I see that.
Yeah. And not only that, but I also think something I go to often whenever good things happen, and I'll have that kind of like little devil voice on my shoulder that's just like, that's not God, that's not blah, 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 yeah. you know, whatever,
it's just a coincidence.
Yes, it's just a coincidence, or that could have happened to anybody. I'm like, mm-hmm. well, you know what, it could have happened to anybody, but all good things come from God, because God is good.
Yes.
And even the good things that are happening to people all over the world mm-hmm. without acknowledging God, without people knowing that God even exists, or without understanding that they can have a relationship with God by choice.
Yes.
The good things are still of God.
They are. They really are.
If it is good, it is from God.
Yes.
Because all good things come from God.
Yeah.
And so in this case, we are actually just having a more rich and vibrant life, because the veil is lifted. The scales are off of our eyes, and
yeah.
we're able to see, oh my gosh, God is involved in my life.
Definitely.
You know, and in that person's life, like yeah. you said. And I'm sure that was also a blessing for the family to be able to give, which is a really big lesson as well, to understand yeah. that sometimes our pride that can prevent us from accepting gifts is also putting up a barrier to another person experiencing God.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like bad on both sides.
It is.
So it's better just embrace the humility, and then God gets to bless you and the other person.
Yeah.
You know,
I've definitely seen that. And because of how I am, like I can't say things are a coincidence anymore. And I'm, as a newer Christian, being able to release that and be able to say, wow, like everything in my life that is going good right now really is God. Like that really is God doing that. Like I'm so happy and so grateful for so many things now that, like, before, if it happened when I wasn't a believer, I probably would have overlooked.
Right.
I probably would have just been like, oh, that's cool that happened, but like, who am I thanking for that?
Yeah.
And now I'm like, wow, God, thank you so much for this. I'm so much more appreciative. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm so much more appreciative of the life that I've been given. And before, honestly, I had those feelings of, why am I even here?
Right.
And now I'm
right.
like, I know why I am here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Kai. Before we started this podcast, I said, is there anything that's off the table? Mm-hmm. Is there anything you don't want me to talk about, that you don't want me to bring up? Mm-hmm. And she said, no, I'm an open book.
Yep.
And so we only have a couple of minutes, like yeah. literally about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I want to say this for anyone who's listening, because you shared, I mean, you guys, as you're listening to Kai, you can hear her energy, you can hear her passion, you can hear the fact that she really does have a genuine connection with the fact that God is real to her and in her life. But I want you guys to know that when she says hardships, hard times, she's not kidding.
Yeah.
So Kai, I want our listeners to understand, you're talking about things like homelessness.
Yeah.
You're talking about loss.
Yeah.
You're talking about family matters that are extremely broken or difficult.
Yes.
So I think I you know, maybe we can tie this in just to how we wrap things up, mm-hmm. because I do believe that a lot of times people think that God is circumstantial.
No.
And it's kind of like, oh, I'm going to pray for good things to happen to me. Yep. And then that means that God is good.
Yeah.
And I'll admit, I can remember vividly a time in my past whenever bad things were happening to me and I went to God and I said, God, I don't think you're good.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to work through that.
Yes.
Where I had to learn that God is good regardless of my circumstances.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering if you want to speak to that for a minute before we close, or if there's any advice you would have for anyone else.
Yeah.
Who might be walking that path.
Yeah. To touch base a little bit, I grew up with parents who were addicted to drugs, who really neglected me. And throughout my life, I dealt with the hardships of feeling very unloved and lonely. And I struggled for a very long time to feel any connection with really anyone. And it wasn't until I became Christian where I really felt like I was living. I felt like I, before, was just kind of existing, but I didn't feel like I was living. And honestly, it wasn't until the Holy Spirit was in me that I started feeling that I started feeling content with this life and not constantly question why I was even here. And I think if there is a hopelessness in you and you are dealing with those struggles and you feel like you are so done with this life, like there is nothing left for you here, you need to be able to turn to God. Because all that love that you feel like you have never had, God can provide for you. And God will introduce people into your life who are such a blessing to you. And you'll be able to turn your life around and be able to say, I feel alive. I feel loved. I feel content. And that is such a different feeling to be able to say, I'm happy. I am alive. I'm happy. I was born. It is one of the best feelings in the world when you come from a struggling place to be able to say, I'm okay. Even when you're still struggling,
That's
okay.
What I was going to say is it's one thing, because I think sometimes people get this idea that you have this spiritual transformation and then suddenly your life circumstances are better.
No.
And that is not the
no.
That's not the case.
I still struggle. Yeah. I still have struggles. Like, I am still struggling.
Circumstantially, it can be very hard. And so I think you can be sitting in your car, your almost broken down car, yeah, without anywhere to live.
Yeah.
And you can still, in your soul, have peace.
Yeah. I always know, no matter what, no matter the hardest things I am going through, I know God has me. And even when I am going through those times where I feel so lost, I'm like, okay, I feel really lost right now, but it's not because I don't know there's going to be a solution. It's because I'm waiting for the solution and I'm just waiting for it to come. Mm-hmm. But I know God is there. I know God is always there. And it may seem very small to say to God, help me. Just help me, please.
That's what I say all the time.
Yeah. But yeah. It helps. It helps. Does. Even if nothing happens in that moment, it helps.
Yes. It's a surrender, right?
It is.
It's like, I cannot help myself. I need you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kai. This has been such an awesome conversation. Thank you so much for being a part of this with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been an amazing opportunity.
Love it. All right. We'll see you guys soon. Have a good one.
If you would like to know what the Bible says related to today's faith conversation, please go to the description of this episode. To hear more faith conversations, click follow. And you can share this episode to encourage someone else on their journey.